Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
No, we weren't randomly yanked off the air by the powers that be. That was on me. Paulie threw me a little curveball at the end of our first hour of the program. So if you're a dedicated Tier 1 listener, you might know that for the last, basically since our very first show, when we get to the end of the hour, Paulie always plays a 30-second music bed that alerts me that we're about to get to our hard out. We have a, we call it a hard out on radio at the, at basically it's like at 56.
Gotta go.
We gotta go. It's this, it, so we can hit the right top of the hour for our legal ID. I've got to get out exactly at that time. And I know the, I know in my sleep the cadence of that 30 seconds and how much time I have left, how many words I can squeeze in before the top of the hour, tease us, get us out, get us set up for the next segment. And for some reason, this time, I never heard the music at all. And Paulie said, well, this is the first time in the history, I believe, of Ben and Woods that he changed up the music at the top of the hour. And we had discussed this, actually, during our holiday break. Like, hey, let's freshen some things up, including the music that we play.
The abrupt ending.
Knowing what's going on.
And I know agents, and that's absolutely true of them.
I can hear it in the background.
Again, it's not a good thing. There's no way this is a positive.
No.
But at the same time, we may be overreacting just a little bit because it's so new and fresh.
Tony Gwynn Jr. here.
No,
we,
no.
We have three.
It's like Van Halen in the background.
And I was, I was into my conversation with you. I wasn't looking at Paulie. I wasn't looking at the clock. So, you know, that was on me, but you changed. So that was a different 30-second music bed.
Yeah, we talked about this.
I know, but you didn't. I mean, yesterday we played the old one, right?
Yes.
Okay, so this was the first time you had ever played the new one, and I had never heard it.
This change went into effect yesterday after the show.
All right.
So here's our new outro bed. Just close your eyes, Ben.
Let me
listen
absorb
to
this
it.
Into
absorb
my
absorb it. Soak it
subconscious.
In.
Subconscious.
Sounds like a soundtrack for like an 80s surfing movie.
Doesn't it? Yes, and it's playing on an island.
Come on, bro!
Most important.
Shred, dude! I got it, man!
Endless loop when you go get an Islands burger.
Yeah, 100%.
Always have those surfing videos.
So
on.
Good. Oh, I love Islands.
Because
I can sit and watch surf. Oh, God, I wish I could surf
like,
so bad.
Could you just please turn on a game for me? Why do I have to watch endless surfing
Are you
videos?
Kidding? They're the best.
What?
The best. You don't like to watch those?
No, I want a basketball game or a football game on.
You
I don't
can
want
watch
endless
them.
Surfing videos.
I am beyond obsessed with surf culture.
And then I have
culture.
To ask the waiter or the waitress, can you change this television
that's
to something?
Like a staple in bars.
I
it's a staple
watch,
in like restaurants.
Chive
and,
TV.
And Islands is the surfing. It's one of the reasons I go to Islands. The
For
food's
the
pretty good.
I
yes.
Mean, it's good. I do like their burgers. Their fries are outstanding.
My kids will be talking to me, and I'm just looking up at some guy riding a 75-foot wave going, how? It doesn't make sense. Look, if the genie came down and granted me three wishes, one of them would be You get to surf like that your entire life, but you'll never fall off your board. You'll never hit a reef. You'll never get stung by a jellyfish. You won't get tired from paddling, but you are the world's greatest surfer. All you're going to do is catch waves for the rest of your life. It would be one of my three wishes.
Alisa says, well, you got to sit in the island's bar to get the sports. I realize that, but the booths are so big and comfy. I want to sit in a booth.
They have great booths.
They have great booths.
You had that pie that they have?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The pie.
Oh, my God.
You ever get the cheese on the fries? Oh, I love one.
No. I don't mess with my fries.
Cheddar fries?
No,
yeah,
I don't
cheddar
do that.
Fries?
I don't put anything on my fries. Chili and garlic and all. I just fries dipped in
sometimes.
Ketchup. No,
you
nothing.
Live a little
carne
bit.
Carne asada? No, nothing. I just eat it. Eat the fries.
Oh, man. But yeah, when you sit in the booth, then you have to watch the surfing videos instead
of
the
sports.
What
do you mean you have
to? You get to.
No, you have to. No, you get to. Wow. You grew up in San Diego. San Diego,
California.
I could
go watch actual surfing if I wanted. Just I'll
That's
go down
true.
To Beacons and watch the real thing. I don't need it on my television while I'm eating.
How about I get so transfixed. I drove down to the beach the other day at moonlight, and we parked for a minute, and I just watched those sets come in, and I go, what do you think if I took some lessons in my head? This, I'm talking to yourself, myself. What if you took some surf lessons and you got out there and you were surfing that? And then I looked at the water. I looked at the temperature. It was 48 degrees. And I thought about the water being, I don't know, 45 degrees. And I went, no.
You never took one?
I have.
You did.
I did.
I took one, like,
years ago.
Age 13, couldn't get up. Well, never did it again.
Yeah. I got up a couple times, but for me, at the time, 235 pounds on a 15-foot longboard, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze, right? Putting the wetsuit on, lugging the board out, you know, and then paddling out. I was exhausted. So I just went, man, I wish there was like a ski lift that would pull me out.
Yeah, no kidding. I took one lesson. It was the week I came down. Summer after high school, like orientation, right before my freshman year. And I thought, well, I live in San Diego now. I got to learn how to surf.
Have to.
Paid $150 or whatever. Yep. Mission Beach down there, learning how to surf.
Look at
me,
Mom.
A couple of times. Yeah. And then a couple years later, my roommate had a nice surfboard. So I'd take that and try to go surf on my own. I think I got up like once in like four different times trying.
I had a guy stand behind me, and which was great. Like, and push me into the wave because you didn't have to paddle and catch it. My wobbly ass. I have no balance. I want to be able to do it so badly. But I'm also afraid of getting stung by jellyfish.
I will say that I have a lot of respect for the winter surfers in
so
San
much.
Diego.
Well, that's when the waves are the best. I mean, they're just firing.
I see them, you know, this time of year heading down, you know, knowing how cold it
is. So jealous,
and knowing,
man.
Knowing how hard it is to get into a wetsuit.
I'm so jealous.
And out of
them.
A wetsuit at the end. It's, I mean, that's, and then knowing you're going to be all sandy and you got to clean that board and you got to get it back. You got to get it lifted onto the top of your car or wherever you transport it. And the amount of effort that goes in to then being in the water that is freezing cold.
Freezing cold.
For however long you're in there, for an hour and a half, or I don't know what a typical surfing session is for those guys. So those guys are hard.
I'm so jealous
doing that right now.
I'm so jealous. Hey, babe, I'm going out for a surf. I'll be back. You come home, you're all zen. You feel great. But there's just, I'm too old now, I feel. So anyway, I digress.
Our boss, Adam, is here. Adam texted Paulie immediately after Woodsy's flub in our last hour and said, we need to make a promo of that.
We don't.
And Woods disagreed. But Paulie has at least complied, so we have an idea of what it might sound like.
I'm just doing my job.
Better not air.
Ben and Woods on the Fan.
Based on my experience with Peter Seidler, that was his vision. He wanted to win championships. He wanted to do it almost more than anything in the world. Eradicate homeless people. Not eradicate homeless people.
Oh, my God.
Son of a...
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Eradicate homelessness.
Whoa. Whoa.
God, I was on such a good roll.
Sorry.
Whoa.
Man.
Sorry. That was a misspeak
that was
by
a,
Woods.
That was a... Please don't take that out of context.
Listen to Ben and Woods weekdays from 6 to 10 on 97.3
Bad promo, actually. It's not the worst promo I've heard.
Yes, his vision was to win a World Series and eradicate homeless people. That's it. That's what you say live on the radio. You stupid, stupid turd.
You know,
that's what he wanted to do.
We got a lot of Thanos.
We got a lot of...
God!
We like got Patrick a lot Bateman. Of messages yesterday along the lines of, you know, can't wait to see what you guys have to say. So excited for the show tomorrow.
How about that one?
I bet you weren't expecting that one.
Yeah, you know what? That's going to be on a Dodger podcast today. Be like, listen to what this idiot said. based on my experience with Peter Seidler, that was his vision. He wanted to win championships. He wanted to do it almost more than anything in the world. Eradicate homeless people.
Right.
Eradicate homeless people. God.
I mean, that goes down as one of the worst flubs.
Ever.
Ever.
It's about as bad as it gets.
San Diego's falling apart, Junior says. They're turning on the homeless. Oh, my God.
All the good work we did. Just undone.
I literally just unraveled the whole thing.
Careless choice of words.
Oh, my God, dude.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so you can see why I don't want that running as a promo.
I mean, we do give it some context there at
That's
the end.
True. If you want to run it, you can, I guess. I don't know. What an idiot I am. Anybody that knows me knows how yes. much I love the homeless or the unhoused. Man.
That was something else.
That was something else, and I apologize.
Oh,
I did not
man.
Mean to come out that way.
Where do you go from there?
I really don't know. I really, really don't know. There was some football. God, there's some baseball news yesterday. Yeah, usual suspects are at it again.
Well, for once, they actually got rid of a player as opposed to adding a player.
Well, they added a player and a draft pick.
Well, that's true. But the LA Dodgers did trade Gavin Lux to the Cincinnati Reds yesterday for, it was a kid they had drafted back out of high school but didn't sign.
And they really liked him.
And then he ended up in the Reds organization. They really liked him. They added a draft pick as well. But it was quick. I mean, they moved on from Gavin Lux very quickly.
27 after, years old, man.
After signing Haesung Kim from Korea, the other middle infielder from the KBO, to a, $12.5 million three-year contract. And their immediate reaction was, yeah, this is just another piece, and Gavin Lux is still going to be our middle infielder. They literally said that like 3 days ago.
Yes.
Gavin Lux is still in our plans as part of our middle infield going forward in 2025. And then, boom, he's gone. It's a good reminder not to take anything you hear from, you know, GMs at face value.
Yeah,
because
everything can change.
You know, they will say one thing, but their plans may tell an entirely different story. Now, this is a bit of a risk for the Dodgers. You know, they're high on Haesung Kim, but as we remember with Haesung Kim,
took a minute.
It wasn't an instantaneous transition from the KBO to Major League Baseball, and every player will have to go through their own learning curve as they're facing Major League pitching consistently for the first time. So, you know, if they're expecting him to be an everyday starter, or at least kind of a, you know, the heavy half of a platoon on a, you know, left-handed hitter on against right-handers, they're taking a bit of a risk. Can they afford it? Yeah, they absolutely can. They got plenty of lineup depth and pitching that they can afford to, you know, take a bit of a risk on Haesung Kim and give him some playing time and see how he develops. But now they're committed to that strategy pretty much going forward.
Yeah, the guy that they picked up was a guy named Mike Sirota. And again, you drafted him. He's got physical tools that says long intrigued teams, including the Dodgers, drafted him in the 16th round in 21, declined to sign, went to Northeastern, had power, speed, patience. They picked him, Cincinnati picked him 87th in last year's draft. And, you know, yeah, so they get a prospect, they get some draft capital, $2.5 million, Ben, in draft capital. So, yeah, it was one of those things. We have a surplus, we're going to be able to move it. But, yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see if Haesung Kim now fits the bill at second base, Mookie at second base, potentially. They still have a lot of options. The Reds have a lot of middle infield options as well, and they were talking about potentially playing Gavin Lux in the outfield as well. Played 45 games out in the outfield.
Yeah, they get McClain and Steer. They got to move everybody around and figure out how that's going to work.
Ellie De La Cruz.
And where everyone's going to land. But, you know, adding some pieces. And the Reds seemingly a team that is, you know, trying to make a playoff push this season after coming close but not quite being there. They look like they're trying to take the next step. We've got Don't Do This coming up next. I think Rex Ryan is absolutely delusional. I could be wrong on this one, but it sounds like he has gone off the deep end. I'll explain what I mean coming up. First, though, I want to tell you about Prize Picks. It's my daily fantasy spot. Over 10 million members, billions of dollars of winnings already awarded. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to everyone. All you have to do is pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash. I've been playing. You can play one day. You can play season-long stat projections. You can do two. You can do six. You can do power plays where it's like you win them all and you multiply your winnings. Or you can go flex play where you pick three, you only have to win two, and you still win. So it's really up to you how you like to do it, how you like to play it. The one thing you definitely should do, though, is when you download the app, use the code KWFN because you're going to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5. You don't have to even match the entire amount. You just have to play $5. You don't even have to win. You're going to get $50 instantly by using the code KWFN when you sign up at Prize Picks. It's got all your players for the playoffs coming up. Jared Goff, Travis Kelce, more than 70 receiving yards, less than 70 receiving yards. It's up to you. With Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
It's brought to you by our very new sponsors, Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to change if and when you die. Do set up a trust or will online at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. The Jets are trying to come up with their head coaching succession plan
again
right now after firing Robert Saleh during the season. And one of the candidates that they have interviewed, talk about the old retread.
Wow.
is former Jets coach and current ESPN analyst Rex Ryan.
Also fellow foot fetishist.
Maybe Rex Ryan is what? Knows something that the rest of us don't, and he's trying to send a message to owner Woody Johnson. But
is he speaking it into existence?
Maybe. Yeah, he's still an ESPN analyst. Normally when you're being interviewed for a coaching job, you go pretty radio silent.
You're quiet.
You're not talking about anything. But Rex is still doing his job, and they're asking him about it, and he is very confident. In fact, when asked if he expects to land the position on ESPN, he said, oh, 100%, absolutely, I do.
Oh, wow.
The reason I think I'm going to get it is because I'm the best guy for it. It ain't close. Oh. The thing you have to do is you have to connect with your football team. You have to connect with your fan base. The way they play, that's the most important thing. And then he says of another candidate, Ben Johnson, this isn't just the X's and O's and all that. This is Ben Johnson. I love him. Absolutely love him. But I'm a better candidate for this job than he would be.
Whew.
He also went on to say that if he is made the head coach, the Aaron Rodgers Country Club would come to an end. And pretty much took a shot at him for missing the mandatory minicamp last year when he went on his trip to Egypt.
Yeah.
He was fine for it, but Robert Saleh really said nothing. Like, whatever. He's not here.
Do what you want to do.
Do what you want to do. He said that would end under his leadership if he is allowed to return to the New York Jets. Am I the crazy one, or is... It sounds like he's lost his mind.
It sounds like he has, but I think... I don't know. I've never had that much confidence in anything. If I've ever had a job interview, how did it go? Oh, terrible. I'm not kidding. there's no way. There's no chance.
Oh, I got this. I got this in the bag.
Yeah, I think the one time I thought, oh, man, I crushed that. They're like, sorry, we're going with a morning show from Idaho. They made it 6 months. It's a true story.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Idaho.
Yeah. Yeah. They're no longer here.
Huh.
Yeah. They made it 6 months.
I'm glad you didn't get the job. Because then you might not be here with me.
Yeah, then I may not be here with you guys.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Idaho. How'd that work out for you? Not great. The NLL is the National Lacrosse League. Doesn't get a lot of play on the show or in Don't or Do This, but I think when an incident happens like it happened a couple of weeks ago with Halifax Thunderbirds player Tyson Bell, I think it's something that we need to discuss. We've talked many, many times about fans heckling players, players retaliating. You really can't do it. As much as you want to, as much as you feel justified in your actions, if somebody says something to you that offends you, we saw the Malice at the Palace. Obviously, there's been many, many instances of players attacking fans. We saw Jesse Winker screaming at that elderly man last year. You just can't do it. You have to kind of put your head down and be a professional. Well, Tyson Bell is this gentleman's name, plays for the Halifax Thunderbirds. They had finished up a game in Colorado against the Mammoth, and he was walking down the tunnel, essentially, and in this arena, the fans can be right there. They're right by the tunnel. You see it in a lot of sports. Tyson Bell straight up attacked this fan. Fan said something. Tyson Bell throws a punch. Probably he's going to put it in the YouTube feed as well if you're watching. He hits a fan with his stick. He punches a fan. He pushes a barricade. Ooh. Whacks him in the face with the stick. Tyson Bell is
a wooden stick.
It's like carbon fiber
stick
with a plastic end.
Probably used to be made out of wood.
Yes, in the 1400s, right. They did make them out of wood. Correct. So you're technically right. So he's actually he's facing assault charges. He has to go to court on January 22nd. He is he's one of those guys.
So,
he is very, very feisty.
So you're saying that someone's sitting right next to the glass.
Yes.
Who he could hear.
Yes.
And annoyed him.
Correct.
He attacked.
Correct.
I see the Seals take on Halifax in April. I do know that you sit very close to the glass and have been known to annoy opposing players on occasion. Are you going to be extra careful that night? Oh, no, wait. That's a road game.
That's a road game.
That's a road game.
But I've never been yelled at by an opposing player. I have been called a cheater by an opposing coach. And he wrote it on a whiteboard and held it up. I have nothing to do with the clock. I never have. They would never let me run the clock. He was so mad he thought I had something to do with it. But you can't do that. You can't whack somebody with a stick. That's assault.
Or punch them.
Or punch them. And whack the guy upside the head. He actually got two fans. He took care of two fans there. So he's... they're talking about suspending him. He is suspended, but they're talking about, maybe suspending him for longer than a season.
Like kicking him out of the league entirely.
Potentially.
All right, finally, some doo-doo this.
DD mega doo-doo.
All right, I have no idea if the TGL, which I believe stands for the Tomorrow Golf League, is going to be successful. But tonight is the debut. It's taken a couple of years to get together. This is the Tiger Woods Rory McIlroy Indoor Simulator Golf League. It's going to be televised on ESPN, the first match tonight, 6 o'clock. What the doo-doo this for me is, and I don't know if you saw some of this, but I finally got a chance over our break to see the arena that they created in action. It's unbelievable.
Crazy.
It's unbelievable. If anybody's ever been on a golf simulator, you know, you go into one of those bays and hit into a screen. They're cool. They're fun. This is that times a million. They have like a giant screen, like you're going to a movie theater. They have actual like grass, tees, and stuff to hit shots off of. They hit these shots that travel about 30, 40 yards into the screen and then projects like where it's going out onto these amazing courses that they've created, like the most incredible looking fictional golf courses.
Are they fictional?
Yeah, they're fictional golf courses.
Wow.
Because they all have to then basically format to get to the green, because they have a real green then inside the stadium.
Yeah.
That's, then it's got about 30 or 40 yards of chipping area outside of it, and the green can rotate around and move up and down on hydraulics.
Insane.
To change all the angles. All the pin positions are going to be different for every hole, but once you hit your drive, you then go out and you will put and actually chip and putt and finish out the hole inside from where you're playing, and then you play out the hole. They have like shot clocks to keep things moving. My big question is, will people watch this? And will the golfers make it entertaining? Because I think the matches, the mic'd up stuff has gotten kind of stale because, well, the personalities haven't really carried the day enough. These guys are going to have to get into it. They're going to have fun with it. This isn't a PGA Tour event. This is something completely different. But it also has to be competitive and serious. I think they have a pretty big hurdle to overcome to develop a real great audience. But the first thing they did, they nailed. The technology is out of this world from what I saw. And I would love at some point to be able to go down to Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, and check that thing out in person.
There's only one?
It's the one arena. Every match is played there. Different golfers will come in each week. They will televise it. They'll have their match and then have a season-long standings and a league and a championship at the end of the year.
Will you watch, Paulie?
No.
I know.
I won't either.
That's really for me. And that's don't.
If I'm going to watch golf.
Love watching golf. Love watching
golf. I don't like watching golf, but if I'm going to, I want to see the real
product.
You want to see the real product.
Well, I want to see real golf. I don't need to see guys hitting into a screen. Why not just have them all at some extravagant putt-putt course?
Yes.
Like,
This is like the most extravagant course you've ever seen.
No, it's not. It's a screen.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It is pretty rad how they do it. I saw it, and they hit off real grass and stuff. You can't even hit off real grass at driving ranges here anymore.
And you can do it inside now.
Do it inside.
Place, I know.
I'm not watching it. But more power to you. Let us know how it goes. How many people are in this league?
I think there's like eight teams of four.
And then it's Rory, Tiger.
Yeah, they switch the players out sometimes.
And they're also playing PGA events.
Yeah, because these are all early in the week, and then they go and play their PGA event later in the week.
Is it a money grab for these guys?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
And let's don't
get richer.
And do this for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
I don't know if you guys have caught a couple of the highlights. I think John Boyd posted one last week about how maybe the most electric game to watch right now is darts. And I think he's right. There was a highlight video that came out. I can't get enough of it. I will watch if there's professional darts on TV.
I've seen those videos before.
Oh, my God.
The announcers are screaming.
And you're starting to watch and you're like, this guy needs three triples. My heart was racing watching this, and he's like, bam, bam, bam.
I bought the family a new electric dartboard
for
Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so question.
Yeah.
I need one in here.
Did you... You half-assed it, though. It hangs on the wall.
No, we're still putting it together, but hold that thought, because I want to talk about my electric dartboard. First, though, it is time to talk about trust and will again.
Oh, buddy.
You do not want to get into probate court. Elisa made the point in the chat earlier. I said, if you die, you don't want to leave things to chance. when you die. You are going to die at some point.
It's not when.
If you die unexpectedly a little bit early, you don't want to leave things to chance. You don't want your family to have to deal with probate court. It's a lengthy and costly process to distribute an estate.
I know somebody that went through probate court. It can be a nightmare for them. So if that's unavoidable, even with a will, probate is unavoidable, so a trust can help you bypass it entirely.
Yes, and that saves you like 3-7% cost of your estate. I mean, for $500,000, that's $25,000 just in fees lost for your family. So the way to avoid that is by going online to trustandwill.com. They can very easily help you set up your trust.
So easy.
Very quickly, online, send you all the documents, get it done with no hassle whatsoever and extremely affordable. You don't have to hire a bunch of attorneys or anything. They've made this accessible to everybody.
67% of Americans do not have an estate plan. Do not be part of this statistic. Plan for the unexpected. I mean, it just couldn't come at a better time, guys. So what you want to do is secure your assets, protect your loved ones with Trust and Will. Get 10% off plus free shipping of your estate plan documents by going to trustandwill.com. Use the code San Diego, one word.
Well,
San Diego.
One word.
One word at checkout. Again, trustandwill.com. Code word is San Diego. You'll get 10% off.
We'll fix Woods' camera, and we'll be right back on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Ben Paul, regular-sized Woods, back on 97.3 The Fan.
I don't know what happened.
Good morning to your children there.
Yeah.
A little FaceTime?
Yeah, a little FaceTime. Yeah. You know, sometimes you have a little trouble at drop-off, you know, get a little anxious about going to school, so a little call with the old man. Seems to smooth it out a little.
So let me ask you a question. Have you ever done this over the holidays? Because I did it for the first time. I bought a Christmas present for the family fairly early and then stowed it away in the garage where, you know, hopefully no one would come across it in the weeks before Christmas. And then I forgot about it entirely.
You did?
Yes. And I didn't remember. So it didn't get brought out at Christmas. And then I realized about January 2nd. Oh, wait, I had a big present that I had for everybody that I just left in the garage. So surprise. And it was an electric dartboard that I had seen. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. Like, it's a really sturdy, well-built one. And I know what your question was.
Double D?
You're right.
Oh.
Are you going to put it up kind of janky on the wall?
Well, so there's a couple different options, right? You have your old standard cork board that you can hang, which inevitably will lead to holes in your wall.
Correct.
Or you have the pub tavern style that has the doors you open.
This one has the doors and the cabinet and everything.
Okay, but does it stand?
No.
It is on the wall.
The reason why we've constructed it, it's beautiful. We're going to get someone professionally to come in and find the studs and actually mount it, you know, with a level on the wall, something I don't think I am capable of doing.
Same.
So we're waiting for that process. But it's really cool. It's got like dozens and dozens of electronic darts games.
It keeps score for cricket around the world, all the
different variations of darts that you can play. And you don't even need to know specifically all the rules because it'll keep score for you and you don't have to bother with
it. Legit.
Make some sounds, lights up, different colors, and it's really cool. So I'm very excited about darts, but I had not known that you were interested in darts as well.
I played so many darts in college. It was kind of our thing. We'd go to the bar that I worked at on my days off on Fridays usually, and we'd start after class at like noon and just pitchers of beer, playing cricket for money. For hours and hours and hours and hours, and I loved it. And then, you know, you move out, you get done with college, and I was in a dart league. I mean, I was literally on a dart team. It was so much fun. I like bar games. I like some bar games, but darts was always my favorite. And I want the one that I had in college where it's the stand-up one, right? The big, tall stand-up one. But you need
like an arcade.
It's almost like an arcade game.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I saw this highlight of this professional dart league in England, and I'm going to England in July, and I'm going to miss Premier League. So I will not see Premier League because the season's not going. I want to find a dart game somewhere in some pub and go play darts.
I want to challenge you. When we get it up, I want you to come over and we'll play.
Because
I'm decent. I can't do like triple, 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 but I can generally put it in the right vicinity of where I'm aiming.
Yeah, I'm going to whip your ass at it. There's no question.
You think so?
We'll play for money, yeah.
All right, we'll play for money.
Yeah,
I don't mind that.
You whip me in golf.
Oh, I'm in. Darts are great.
You like darts?
That's fun. I like sitting at a bar playing darts. I'll tell you this right now, 100% would rather play darts than a game of pool. I hate pool.
Bro.
I was never good at pool.
No.
And that's why I hate it. 100% fully able to admit, if I was better, I'd probably like it more. But is there anything worse than like walking into your buddy's like gaming room, nope, you know, recreation room, whatever? They got a pool table. Hey, you want to play some pool? Not really.
No, I don't. It's the last thing I want to do.
Hey, you want a break? Absolutely not.
Does every guy have to pretend like they can play pool? Like, if someone wants to play pool, you fake it. You completely fake it. Yeah. I agree with you. The break is terrifying.
It's the worst.
It's maybe the most terrifying thing.
You try
in
to hit the ball as hard as you can, and. And you hit that. You hit
the
that
side
first,
of it.
You hit the first one at the top of the triangle, and then one like trickles off on the back.
It's just
and
the
you're
worst.
Humiliated.
I will say,
humiliating.
Let's say in my whole life I've broken. I'll say 250 times. Okay, I've had the chance to break. Three of them were good and cool and powerful and successful. Three out of 250 were like.
How many times have you played pool and the guy goes, you want a break? You want me to? And you go, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
You do it.
Yeah, you get first runs.
I'm good. Do it.
Bro,
I'll do the next one.
I've hit the side of it and done the whole like, and skipped through it. You know? I mean, I've somehow hit it so that it felt.
Yes. Just like skims off the triangle of balls and then the cue ball goes right into the corner pocket. Like, is that game over? I think that's game over, right?
It's so not.
Let's start over.
It's so not.
All right, you win. We can move on to darts now.
I also hate foosball. I hate it.
Foosball is not fun.
The multiple shafts
that you have to slide back and forth.
Get it.
Bar games. I'll play shuffleboard every once in a while.
Air hockey's fun. Air hockey's fun.
Oh, man.
Until you get your fingers smashed. Until the puck.
You don't want to get your fingers smashed by the puck and the.
Well, I'm looking forward to playing some darts.
I want a dartboard in here now.
I know.
You just put one right behind the door there and we could. It's a good distance.
We've got good walls for darts here. They're like fabric. I feel like we couldn't really damage them with darts.
I think the...
So Adam, if you can just get on that, that'd be great.
I think that the other people may be mad. There's not a lot of room in here. There's not to hang it necessarily. It'd have to go high.
It's not like we'd be in here after our show shooting darts while anyone else is
back in the corner there behind the door, perhaps. Yeah. I mean, you don't want someone to walk in surprising and take a dart to the face, but...
You have the plastic tips?
No, they're actually metal tips. You know, with the electronic board, I was trying to figure out how it works. Occasionally, it'll do the bounce-off thing, but if it hits, it'll still score.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not, you know, pub darts, essentially, but it was pretty cool, and I'm very excited about it.
Good. Well, if you get a chance to watch some professional darts, you're not going to be disappointed. These guys are phenomenal. I will watch pool, though.
I watched so much pool on ESPN when I was a kid.
Yeah. Trick shots? Super fun. Yeah.
Trick shots. I watched like the 8-ball and the 9-ball competitions.
Remember the Black Widow? Remember her?
Yeah, absolutely.
What was her name? Do you remember?
I definitely watched her play many times.
She had that hand.
Minnesota Fats.
That hand sleeve that was so cool. Yeah. I remember that, too. All right, let's move on.
All right, we're going to check traffic. When we come back, Padres had some other... news yesterday of the big news. You may have missed it in the course of events. We'll get you caught up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego after accidents or injury, here's Kelly Danik.
Traffic moving much nicer through Mission Valley westbound. I declared that accident past the 15. No other trouble spots, guys. We are seeing a lot of the usual slowing in the usual spots, but at least nothing getting in your way. I'm Kelly Danik with Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Tan in the chat had it before I could even look it up. Jeanette Lee, the Black Widow.
Black Widow.
Yes, definitely watched plenty of... I mean, that's all the programming they had on ESPN back in the day. It was rodeo and pool. I mean, they didn't have the rights to Major League Baseball or the NFL or basketball back then. They were filling time with really odd sports. Yep. And I was completely there for it as a kid.
Well, we fill our time mostly on this show with Padres baseball talk. And obviously the news yesterday was It's just as massive as it could be. And the ramifications, we'll see. And it's going to be a long, drawn-out process, I would imagine. We've got a couple of our beloved Tier 1s in the chat, and they're like, man, Woodsy, I'm dooming. I'm dooming hard about this season. I thought about it for a second, Benny, and I thought to myself, what does this change on the field? What does this change on the field for the San Diego Padres in 2025? Not a hell of a lot for me personally. It's just my opinion. I did see our buddy Tommy tweeted earlier, you know, when there's strife and when there are things like this going on, I think Mike Schilt did a really good job last year at bringing the team together. Is it too pie in the sky to think that, hey, while all of this drama is going on, now it's a new challenge for Mike Schilt to rally the troops together again, to remind them of what they're doing, why they're here, to go out and win for the city?
What's up, my dudes? How you doing?
I'm doing good, Schilty. Rallying the troops for, you know, to go out and do, try to do what you did again last year, do even better.
He's clearly equipped.
He's equipped to do it.
Feels like the right guy for the job, at least in these circumstances. And in on that vein, Dennis Lynn reported yesterday that Mike Schilt has hired a couple of new coaches.
I saw this.
On his staff. A couple of guys you might remember, journeyman type guys in their major league career, Nick Punto and Robbie Hammack.
Love Nick Punto.
And they did not announce what positions they would be filling. TBA determining exactly what their roles are going to be on the 2025 Padres coaching staff. Let's see. Mike Schilt did lose his, what was they called it, the game management assistant, who went off to the St. Louis Cardinals. So he had a position or two to fill, and those two guys will be coming in. Maybe we'll get a chance to meet him out at spring training.
I sure hope so. He's a guy I would love to interview, Nick Punto, because, Benny, he played for the Phillies, the Twins, the Cardinals, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, and the A's. I mean, he won a World Series with the Cardinals, so I think there's a Schilt connection there, certainly. And, you know, one of those guys. He's just one of those guys in baseball. You remember Nick Punto for some big hits that he had for his defense. You know, a guy that can probably come in and help the team with the infield defense. And I loved it because it's a name I remember, and it's like, oh, that guy was a good ball player.
For me, it's a sign, you know, the business of baseball goes on. No matter what is in the air, no matter what, you know, the mood is of the fan base, the business of baseball does go on. And you mentioned Nick Punto, one of his former teams, the A's. The business of baseball has been going on for the Oakland A's as well. Well, now the Sacramento A's are just the Athletics. And there's not a team that probably could have been in a worse position 4 or 5 months ago. Nobody coming to their games, lame duck in their city, going to go to a minor league ballpark, questions about their future in Las Vegas. And I will say this. The A's, the Athletics, have had a really good offseason. You know, they not only added Luis Severino on a free agent contract, but just yesterday announced, or at least reportedly, have reached a 5-year, $60 million extension with Brent Rooker, the designated hitter, who was a very, very short-time San Diego Padre, obviously was on A.J. Preller's radar at one point, never really had an opportunity to flourish here.
Cam Gallagher is what we got in return.
He flourished with the A's and has been rewarded handsomely with a giant contract extension.
He remains one of those that got away. For me. Like, I look at him and what he's been able to do. And turned himself into a really good baseball player.
And you
player.
Saw it coming. You could just see by the cut of his jib when
guys,
he was here.
How many times after we would get off the show would I lament the fact that Brent Rooker's not getting more playing?
Exactly.
I mean, really, I'm happy for him because he is a really funny, genuine guy, great on social media, gets it, one of those baseball players that gets it. And boy, could we use a Brent Rooker out in left field for the San Diego Padres this year. But good for him. A lot of people saying Brent Rooker may have left a little money on the table, because he is valued more, than the money he got. What did he get? 5 years
60.
For 60?
60.
Okay, so 12 a year.
Yeah.
But that's life-changing money for a guy that was, you know, kind of a journey, like a little bit of a journeyman, and not really sure. He has really put together and see when that happens.
And then I don't know if you saw yesterday, but I believe Brent Rooker and Mark Hotze, the manager, and a few other players were at the Sacramento Kings game and starting to ingratiate themselves into their new temporary home for the next 3 years. Again, I don't. it seems like that situation is untenable. You know, John Fisher, the owner of the A's. I mean, was there a more hated person in baseball last year than John Fisher?
No.
But so far, they've handled this transition about as well as they can handle it.
You know, and it's interesting that this is all tied together, because there was something in there, and I wanted to get your take on it, Benny, yesterday when we talked, when we saw the lawsuit and read through it. I think the thing that put me on my haunt, you know, on my haunches the most was the relocation talk in there. And that's something that, you know, I was talking to a friend about it yesterday, and I said, man, you want to talk about some PTSD scenes going on here. You think, my buddy that I was talking to said, yeah, you know, grew up here, grew up a Charger fan. And when the rumbling started happening, the only thing I ever said was, no, there's no chance. There's no chance the NFL is moving. And I read that yesterday, and I went, no, there's no chance that these guys would move. There's no chance. You hear about baseball expanding. You hear about baseball wanting, you know, now allowing the A's to just up and move. Did you have the same reaction I did yesterday when I read it? I was taken aback.
I rolled my eyes.
Did you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, who in their right mind would want to leave what has been built here? It's not easy. It's not easy to do that. It's not easy to put together a passionate fan base and sell out a ballpark almost every night of the year and have that kind of love for a team. You want to start over somewhere else? I can't see anyone.
But you said the same thing about
wanting to. I did not say that about the Chargers. They clearly always had their eye on Los Angeles. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the foolishness of the owner in that case. And I guess you can never be totally immune when, you know, one person is making a decision. They can always make a really bad decision that you disagree with.
Correct.
So in that sense, I guess anything is possible. But when you have a premier facility and a premier atmosphere, it doesn't make any sense anyone would want to go anywhere else.
It really does not.
I'd imagine there's at least 15 owners that would jump in the city. You mean Petco Park's vacant? You know, I can come in and take over because you want to leave? That'd be nuts in my mind.
Yeah.
So I did see that. It struck me kind of that's a scare kind of tactic to make everybody like panicked and bring up memories of the Chargers and what they did. I didn't put a lot of credence to that. You know, there's a lot of things that are written in a lawsuit. That's why you do have to have some patience and let things play out. You know,
you do.
A lawsuit is not facts. A lawsuit is,
allegations.
It's one person's point of view. There will be other points of view. And then hopefully, you know, someone can get down to the bottom of it. As I said in our first hour, really determine what were Peter Seidler's wishes here. Because, you know, both sides have said we are following Peter Seidler's wishes. And that's the only thing that I would like to see done, is that Peter Seidler's wishes will be followed. I don't know what those are. I was not close enough to Peter Seidler
I know,
to know what his exact wishes were.
I know that it wasn't to move.
That
I can say authority, it was not to move. Andy says, I get what Ben's saying. I got the feeling in the lawsuit they plan to cut it way back and rescale. It makes sense that they'd relocate, bigger market without the issues like TV deal. The TV deal remains an anchor. You know, the lack of a TV.
What bigger market is in looking for a baseball team right now?
Nashville? I don't know if they're bigger than us.
It's about the same. I mean, you know, they got a AAA team. It doesn't, again, I don't see a logical conclusion to this line of thought. But, you know, and hopefully Major League Baseball figures out the TV deal stuff on a national scale to help not only, it's not just the Padres that are dealing with this. It's almost half the teams in Major League Baseball that are on a completely uneven playing field with teams like the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Mets,
sure,
who have just unbelievably massive local TV deals.
Yeah, where are they talking about expanding in baseball? Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake City is
Portland.
Definitely wants to be. It's Portland, Nashville.
Nashville. There's, Mike says the only place they would go, I would hate to say, is a second L.A. team. There is
Charlotte.
No way. That'd be a third L.A. team, essentially. That would be horrible.
No. And I mean, again, I don't, my logical brain does not ever, oh, yeah, I guess if that didn't, that made sense. It always ends at some point. Like, and then what?
Yeah.
And then what? Wally, is that the music? I can barely hear it.
Yep. That's the music.
Okay. So we've got like 15 seconds left
14,
until
13.
Count it down. All right, we'll come back. We got Take on Woods, and it's new time in our 8 o'clock hour and more. Stick around. Ben and Woods continues on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Hit the post.